What up, what up, everybody? This is Double G for the Fight Game Podcast. John and I coming in hot.
I was going to say, coming in hot.
On a weekend.
On a weekend,
yes. On the weekend. On a Saturday night. Probably people listen to this on a Sunday morning, but we had good reason for being a few days late with this show because I finally got sick, which was unfortunate, not only just for me, but, you know, for my family, because they were dealing with it. So my wife got it. My stepdaughter was the first one to get it. And so I was, trying to help them get better. And then I thought I was out of the woods. Bam, got hit with it. So I've been dealing with this for a few days now. Even went to Raw on Monday. And then come Wednesday, I tested positive. So that's why we did not do our show. I was like thinking about trying to get through it, and it was just like there was going to be no way. And I told John, I said, you know, I just don't like going dark. Like, going dark is just an opportunity for people to go, oh, yeah, you know, I forgot about this show or whatever. So this is a little bit of a fill-in. We're not going to do the show as we normally do it. We're not going to review Dynamite. We're going to kind of review the full week, which we don't normally get a chance to do. And I just have some random things I want to ask John about. But we did want to do a show this week so that we didn't go a full week without one. And we'll be back in our normal time next week. But first and foremost, I saw some photos on Facebook of young Hunter playing T-ball.
Yep, Hunter LaRocca.
You're T-ball dad now.
T-ball dad now. And this day, second game, Red Sox. The jerseys came in late, so we got him today. First game with the jerseys. He's number four. That coach asked him what number he wanted to be. He said four because he is 4 years old. So I guess that's probably why he threw that out there. And then 10 minutes into the game, Dad, I'm tired. I'm like, uh-oh. There you go. He kind of struggled through, but once the coaches kept, you know, getting him focused, he listened to his coaches. But, you know, he was – I could see, like, at second base, he was working on a really good design in the dirt with his cleats. He provided the comic relief of the day when he took his first at bat, hit the ball, and ran and grabbed the ball at the same time. So, it's fun to me. I just laugh, you know, you just, I don't get frustrated. I just think it's all the kids are having a good time. It's funny. You know, they're just learning the game, learning how to, you know, hang out with the other kids and play with other kids, team environment, listen to your coaches. So it's a good thing. And I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. The only thing I usually tell parents when it comes to putting their kids in sports is, what we know works with school is that school is on a schedule. School gives kids an expectation. Like, yeah, Monday through Friday, I go to school. This is just what I do. This is the habit that I'm in. We're very consistent here. And the kids learn that that is sort of their schedule. That's their day. And sometimes what happens is with sports, you know, and I don't blame parents. Like, I've been there. Like, you're just tired. Mm-hmm. You're just, oh, dude, I don't know if I'm going to take them. And you, if you want the child to sort of understand the opportunity or just this new environment, it's like school. You have to be there every time for practice. I don't know if they practice for the game, you know, so that they get into that same repetitive understanding and behavior. And then they understand, oh, this is kind of like how it works. Because right now, like all these kids, they're just like, oh, like we wait our turn and we go and we run to this thing. And then it's the other guy's turn. Like there's like no concept of what's mm-hmm. going on. So that's kind of how you build that into what they're doing. But yeah, you know, I was definitely there with my boys for the entire time. And it's fun. And what about... what about Chloe? Is she's done gymnastics stuff, or
she wants to do gymnastics? We try to get her soccer. She's no interest in soccer. She did dance when she was little, but we want to get her involved in something. Kaylee could be my next softball, and at least not softball, t-ball player, because she gets, she takes more reps on the tee than Hunter does when we practice. So, and she's only two. So, but yeah,
The youngest always.
But she's really involved. Everything. Yeah, Chloe is really involved in school stuff. Like, she has a musical coming up, and in October, at the end of October. They've been practicing 2 days a week after school. So she's clownfish number three. Awesome part. Awesome part. I remember when, because she did tryouts, and then I get home and my wife's like, she got a role. And I'm like, what is it? And she's like, clownfish number three. And I just popped like it was, you know, the biggest, like she's, you know, the lead, you know, I just wanted to make it so special. And she was so, so happy and beaming about it. So, and she's like so proud. Yeah, I'm clownfish number three. Like it's so cool. I love being a dad. It's just the best.
Okay, let's talk about some of the stuff that was going on this week. Like I said, I was at Raw on Monday, hanging out with my buddy, BJ, Ben Cruz. His wife actually calls him BJ, so maybe I should start calling him BJ, because I always knew him as Ben. But hanging out with him, and then our buddy, Brian Ruano, came as well. And that was a lot of fun, and I hadn't been to a live Raw since the Raw after WrestleMania 31, which I was not too impressed with. I didn't think that was necessarily a good show. And even before then was like probably like 2013. I don't remember exactly when they started the 3 hour Raw, but I remember going like at that time going like, man, this is so boring. Like every time they go to commercial, the crowd just doesn't do anything. There's nothing going on. Like this is so terrible. And so I just never had been back to Raw every time they came through to the Bay Area. And then, but when my buddy Ben, he's like, hey, got the hookup, like, we had fantastic seats, second row from the right side of the ring, from the entrance way. And it was just a blast. And then I was like thinking, I was like, okay, well, what do they do now with the commercials? And they have figured it out. You know who they use? And I told Andrew Zarian this already. So people who watched or listened to were Live Pal, they already know this answer. But John doesn't know this answer, I don't think. Who do they use during commercials to keep the fans kind of entertained?
Oh, you told me this is nostalgia. They use DX, they use stuff like that, right? Correct?
Very much so. But more importantly than even the nostalgia piece, it is specifically Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No, each commercial break.
So they do, you know how he does the shows on Peacock?
Mm-hmm.
So they had him record segments with some of the guests, and he'd do this quick, like, you know, 3 minute segment. It's like, Bubba Ray Dudley, I'm going to give you the name of this wrestler, and you let me, or I'm going to give you the name of two wrestlers, and you let me know who you and Devon have put through a table. And it's like Brock Lesnar and The Rock. And Bubba Ray has to think about it, and he goes, oh, it's The Rock. And then you see the thing, and then they're goofing off. And so like, it's literally, not saying it was more entertaining than the current wrestling, but definitely more entertaining than The Miz and Dexter Lumis for sure. But yeah, so that's how they kind of keep the crowd energized. And the other thing that I noticed is that when they're able to do the entrance and start the match, the crowd sort of stays with it in the beginning. But when they do entrances, and then they go to commercial, and then they come back to the match, that's when the crowd kind of gets a little deflated, and they have to sort of restart them. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, they know what they're doing. The show was much better than I ever remembered it for these three-hour Raws. Because, you know, you and I on the Patreon, the Fight Game Media Patreon, we were talking about a Raw from 1998 that we went to, and we rewatched it, and it was tremendous.
Yeah,
but that's a two-hour Raw when you have so many rock star pro wrestlers versus today. And but I was very happy with the show, and I thought they did a really good job. And even the show in of itself, I'm not sure Bayley versus Alexa Bliss was necessarily the right TV main event for that show, but it was, you know, they did it probably mostly for the home crowd, because Bayley's from the Bay Area, Independence High School in the East Side. But overall, I had fun. I thought it was a fun show. It was a good show. I got some great pictures because we were so close. Warrior fans, started retweeting my photo of Kevon Looney, NBA champion Kevon Looney. We got some Kittle stuff going, and so it was a blast. I mean, just, you know, I'm happy that I did get to go, because I would have been thinking like, wonder what they do. But yeah, it's a great entertaining experience, and you also get to see a wrestling show. So they've got it all figured out. What did you think about that show, by the way?
I didn't get through it. I don't even remember what happened.
Well, it was the Bobby Lashley and Seth.
Oh yeah, I watched that match. That was really good. That's right. I did tweet about that. That match I watched, really good. And then I kind of just petered out after that. I think I just got busy and I was like gonna pick it up later, and I ended up just not finishing it. But the
Miz and Dexter Lumis thing was so frustrating because it was every scary movie trope. Miz's role was the blonde girl who gets killed.
Yeah, it's the same. It's like the same thing they did with the Dexter Lumis in NXT, right? With Carmelo and all that, and
yeah, but
Cameron
it's
Grime.
But you know, the Miz is a much bigger star than Dexter Lumis. Mm-hmm. I just wish they wouldn't put him in so many of these spots because they sort of take advantage of him because he does have a relationship with the fans, and they kind of know, like, it's the Miz. Like, who cares? And I'm not even the biggest fan of the Miz. Like, I actually like Mike Mizanin a lot from The Challenge and from The Real World. Like, I'm a much bigger fan of Mike Mizanin than I am of Miz the Wrestler. I just feel bad for him. Like, I know he's doing his job and he's so valuable in that utility sense because he doesn't say no to that stuff. But man, that is such bad stuff to have him in to be, you know, like Dexter Lumis. He uses a knife to cut up through the ring apron, and Miz sees his head popping up, and Miz stares at him and points. I was yelling at this dude, kick a field goal right now. Yeah. Kick this dude's head off. And nope, he doesn't. I'm just like, this is so terrible. So,
yeah. I saw that clip. My buddy, Baby Huey, from the In the Click podcast, he was there as well, and he sent me the his video footage of that and the knife cutting through. He's really close as well. I think on the same, almost close by the same row you guys were at. And he showed me the clip, and I thought it was interesting. Crowd reacted decently to it. I still understand what's Dexter's motivation. Miz is the bad guy, but
why,
like,
is Dexter not in jail? That's my question.
Why is he not in jail? But why the Miz? You know, I don't know. Maybe they could have debuted him on the Miz and Mrs. show, or like there's a stalker that's after Maurice, you know, they're capturing that. Granted, I don't know if they want to. It's freaking, a scripted reality show anyways, but I don't know if they want to make it that obvious that it's a scripted show. But it'd be kind of different and something different for that show.
I don't know. I think this
I don't watch it, but I'm just assuming it's just a regular reality show.
This is one of Triple H's swing and misses so far. And I don't have anything against Dexter Lumis, but you got to have a plan with this guy that just isn't the stuff that we already saw on NXT that didn't work so much that you had to then have him get married to Indy. And bringing her in would actually be a positive to what they're doing now, but then it would also just be a rehash of what they did at NXT.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it plans out and what's the whole end of it. But it hasn't been that great so far.
Yeah. The person who got the most heat though on the entire show, none other than young Mysterio.
Dominic, huh?
And it was, obviously, it was because his dad is so beloved. That's really why the heat was there, but he's doing the promo, you know, these long, meandering promos with the Judgment Day, and Finn and Damian Priest got to get their thing, and, I mean, obviously, everyone knows this, but Rhea's the star of that crew.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts cutting his promo. He doesn't really have to say anything, and the crowd just starts booing him like, and people were texting me going like, how much of this is, padded noise? And I was like, none. And like, he's just getting booed out of the building, and he kind of smirks. And I was like, he gets it, but he's having the time of his life. And I was like, go ahead, dude, like go for it. Cause you know, you don't have this kind of opportunity all the time, but yeah, for whatever reason, San Jose just did not like that dude.
We'll see let's see if he can run with it, right? Take advantage.
I was trying to think, was there anything else to that show? Unfortunately, they went up against a Monday Night Football game that was on ESPN and ESPN2, and then
there's
another game.
Right?
Yeah, and another game that was on ABC all at the same time that Raw was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I didn't watch NXT. Did you watch NXT?
No, I did not get a chance to watch NXT. I think I watched a horror movie that day. I was watching, yeah, Scream. I watched Scream 5 that night with my wife.
You know, these next this show and then the next one are kind of in the bag shows for them before they go back to the black and gold. I'm not watching anything NXT related until I see the building and the graphics and all that stuff change. So
I might, if I have time, I want to go back and watch the second match between Nathan Frazier and Axiom, A-Kid now in the mask, because their first match was really good. And, you know, Tyler Bate and Jordan Devlin's or JD McDonagh, excuse me, it's probably really good. I just got to, you know, find time to go back to see those.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Dynamite Night 1 of Grand Slam featured Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson in the main event for the AEW World Title, and Moxley won with a choke. Danielson did not tap, but he did go out. What did you think of that match?
To me, it was a show-saving match. I didn't really like a lot of the finishes leading up to that. To that match, I wish John would have won with the pin. I thought like that crowd was so hot, and once he started getting the choke on, the crowd kind of like dips a little bit, you know. But I liked the match. I thought it was really good. You know, Danielson's fantastic. Mox is good. It's just they went all out. I love the stuff on the rampway. It was really cool. They're the only ones to do it that night, so that was cool. And you know, it's a really good main event. Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It's not the best version of them wrestling. We saw that it was earlier this year, right, where they had that really really good match at the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. I think it was either earlier this year or late last year, but it was good. We've just seen, I think there was a little bit of fatigue because we saw title match on Dynamite between Moxley and Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Then the pay-per-view had another title match, and that match was good. And then we had like 3 weeks in a row of these title qualifier matches. So
now we have another title match coming up.
Yeah.
Title eliminator next week. And then 2 weeks after that,
I'm actually happier with the title eliminator or the non-title match or whatever, because not that I have world title belt fatigue, but it's just like, I've just seen it defended so often. Like it hasn't been able to be special in the sense of like how, mm-hmm. you know, the one time Roman defends it on SmackDown, they draw like a giant number, right? They've just had to defend this thing so much and have these big matches so often that you don't really get to breathe at all. It's just like boom, mm-hmm. boom, 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 boom. But hopefully, and maybe not hopefully, now that Mox has it, they have whatever the plan is. But if the plan is to go to MJF in November, then it's going to bounce again, and that'll be interesting how they deal with that.
Yeah, but there possibly could be, if MJF does win November, which I think most people feel he will, at least there'll probably be more stability from that point on.
Yeah, yeah. There was a really fun moment with the Acclaimed, though I will say I agree with you, if this is your point, in that I didn't need to see Billy Gunn have anything to do with this finish so that the Acclaim could win.
No,
who are they protecting with that?
I don't know. They're just trying to get Billy Gunn involved. But there's other ways you can get him involved without doing that. I just think it kind of tainted their title win because, you know, here you have these hot young baby faces that needed help to win. That was the conclusion of that match to me. I thought the match was fine. I didn't like the whole like Max Caster selling his knee thing off the top. Because I think they're either someone pushed him off, like Swerve must have pushed him off and we didn't see it where they shot it, or why he jumped short on his feet. You know, like it's so I couldn't tell from the camera angle they did. I just didn't like that story they were trying to tell with that. But and also didn't like the finish with Billy Gunn getting involved. I thought that was ridiculous. Just have them get beat clean. And another part I didn't like about that match, maybe I don't like this match that much, is at one point when they're doing Scissor Me Daddy for the first time, you know, and then Swerve gets upset. Who I thought, by the way, is the star of this match was Swerve.
Oh, yeah. He's the star of these matches all the time. Like,
and
Anytime yeah. that he's on screen, he's the one that you're paying attention to.
Yeah, no, he did tremendous in this match. But, you know, once they did the Sesame Daddy for the first time, Swerve got upset about them, like, just kind of, so they're just trying to show him up. And Keith Lee's getting mad at Swerve, like, man, what are you doing? Oh, man, why are you getting mad at these guys? Like, why?
He's the teddy like, bear.
He's getting upset with Swerve a lot early on, and Swerve was just being aggressive. He wasn't even doing any overtly heelish. The only thing he did was the boombox.
Yeah.
But Keith Lee doesn't see it the way his position was. But it's just, I don't know. I think they're cramming so much into this.
Yeah.
And they could have pulled back a little bit and just give the Clean guys a big win and clean. No, Billy Gunn, I don't know. Didn't like that.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. And, you know, I thought a lot of people really liked the Jericho Claudio match. I thought it was way more clunky than I would have pictured it in my brain. I didn't like the finish with, bringing the bat and then the low blow.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they had to do that because he's the heel and they were talking about his heelish stuff all on Rampage. Like, that's Rampage commentary was just about Jericho cheating and pretending that he didn't cheat. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I not to say that, you know, Jericho's not a babyface. This wasn't a scientific match, as they would have said when we were younger. But I don't know. I didn't want to see Claudio lose the belt in that fashion. It kind of cheapened his overall title reign to me a little bit. I know we're trying to get the belt on Jericho just because he's going to bring more eyeballs to wherever they're going with ROH. But yeah, I didn't like that finish either.
Yeah, the match, I thought it was a one-man show with Claudio. Jericho, a few weeks, like 2 weeks ago now, he kind of turned back the clock, or a week ago, turned back the clock a little bit with Danielson. And this match here, he was just kind of really few steps behind Claudio. Claudio did everything this match to make this match, in my opinion. The finish, I understand the heel needed to cheat to go over. Claudio's just been a guy since probably after War Games, right? I mean, he won the title at the July pay-per-view, but that belt, you know, he's defended it, still is just a nothing title.
He's had
promotion.
Good matches,
but nothing. He's not standing out.
But the problem is that they were all on Rampage, from what I can remember. And this is when no one was watching Rampage, because he had the match with Takeshita. He had another match with Goldust. Maybe Goldust was at the Battle of the Belts, which nobody watched it as well. Yeah. But yeah, he didn't really have the visible run on Dynamite, and so it made it feel a little lesser.
So maybe this will open up for him. Jericho is ROH champion. It will be, at least the ROH will be featured more a little bit, but also could turn into a parody. And that, you know, with Jericho as the ROH champion, and it could become, Jericho can go silly a lot, as we've seen this last 3 years. So, I mean, if he's Jericho the first year of AEW, that'd be great, but I feel like it's going to be just a parody of, like, I'm the honorable champion, and just make it goofy. So I'm not a huge fan of the ROH stuff. I don't think it's needed. Like we always said, put it on the back burner, right?
Yeah,
bring it back in some big old, like, hey, it's back now. ROH is back. We got a new show, and just I think people would take it, be excited for ROH. Now they're just like, who cares?
Yeah, I maybe Jericho winning it means that they do have something going, which is kind of the hope. And, maybe one of these special announcements that Tony Khan has. I'm hopeful for it, but, you know, I don't know. I just understanding the TV industry the way that we do now, because we have so much data. And if Rampage can't draw a great number, where is ROH going to be? And I mean, unless you put it Tuesday nights against NXT, but NXT has a pretty consistent, you know, at least overall viewership number now, that I think that would be a rough one for ROH. But who knows? We'll see. I don't want to speculate at all, because I literally don't have any idea what's going on with that.
Maybe our good friend James Big McDaniel got him on the reels now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, James B., the social media master over there.
Yeah.
All right, so then after that Dynamite show, which I'm kind of in the middle on it. I know Dave really, really liked it. I read the Observer this morning, and I did a show with him just a few hours before we're recording this, and that was my test to see if I can do this with you, and I think I passed. I didn't cough on the air once, but I know he really liked it. I think he felt that that show sort of meant something, like that was a meaningful Dynamite, not just a good Dynamite, but a meaningful Dynamite because they got a lot of stuff done and they progressed things. And so watching Rampage, I don't know if I thought Rampage was better than Dynamite, but I wasn't as, like, because there weren't as many stipulations and I wasn't so worried about them running through everything and getting to everything, it just was like, oh, it's just, you know, 2 hours of other guys who weren't featured. And there was less anxiety for me watching this show because it was like, oh, yeah, I don't really have to worry about, you know, the rest of this stuff because it was just the, you know, the leftovers that they didn't get to was on. And it was more variety, too, because you got to see the Action Bronson thing, which for what it was really fun. And it was just to the point, and it was kind of exactly what they needed to do. You got to see, now on the other hand, you did get to see Trina too, who I don't know if Trina knew what she signed up for when she
I don't understand the whole segment. I'm not saying that just because I don't know who Trina is. I'm just saying, like, what was the point of all this? Just to pass the torch of the baddest bitch to Jade, I guess? Is that what it was?
Yeah. That so Trina's whole shtick in the late 80s, or I'm sorry, the late 90s and the early 2000s.
God damn.
Was that, you know, that was her thing. She was the baddest. She's her breakthrough album was called Da Baddest Bitch. Like, that was her album. So, but the problem is that AEW didn't really tell that story, right? Because they wanted it to be a surprise. And if the surprise was actually in Miami, then you have a real surprise because that's where she's from. And that,
oh, I thought she was from New York.
No, she's from Miami.
And I wondered, like, I'm like, how does her hometown people not know her? Because she came out during Diamante's entrance and did zero reaction.
And that, you know, so they didn't explain it. They were trying to tease it. Like, that's what they love to do, right? They love teasing so that the fan base does their own research and then creates this interest around speculation about who it's going to be. Our buddy in our Facebook group had it like immediately. Preet, he knew who it was immediately. He called this like right when it happened, and I was like, yeah, I think you're 100% right. But because they love this like weird surprise thing that works sometimes, it works really well, but other times it just doesn't work at all. She fell so flat, and also the fact that she didn't really seem like she wanted to be there or that she knew what she was there for, because even when she turned heel on poor Diamante, that was it was in between a slap and a pie face, which is not great. And then she raised, you know, Trina's hand. Now people are going to say, oh, you know, Trina's not that, like, Trina has like over 2 million Twitter followers. Like, she is really famous. She's just famous from a different generation of hip hop that is not today famous. And so it's for the, you know, the people who are a little bit closer to our age, a little bit younger than us though, because she's younger than us. But also at the same time, very much that Southeastern, like, fan base. So you're doing this in New York where you see Action Bronson, that's his home base, and he's, you know, people are popping for him. And then you bring Trina on, and it's like, this is not her home base. So I think they screwed that one up.
Yeah, they maybe Jacksonville would have been better. I don't know, or somewhere in Miami, like you said. I mean, especially like the way she showed up, like her outfit looked like she's about ready to go do some gardening. Like, she was like, didn't look like anyone special. She just looked like someone's I don't know. She just didn't look like she wanted to be there. And there's a lot of hip hop acts on this show, which I didn't really recognize because they're not as big a star as Bushwick Bill, in my opinion.
What about Fabolous? You didn't recognize the FABO?
No, I saw a guy in a ski mask though.
I think that might have been Woo Kid. Well, okay, so DJ so Woo Kid.
That sounds like a wrestling name.
But he's more of a DJ. He's not a rapper. I forgot who's the other guy who he rapped somebody out on TV a couple weeks ago. I forget his name. Was West Side Gunn there? He may have been the guy in the ski mask that you were talking about. I don't know. There was a lot. And they didn't show them very much. They didn't really explain who they were. I don't necessarily agree with the way that they do this stuff, but this is the way that they do it.
Well, that's why the fans listen to us, because we give them the hip hop, you know, information that they need from these shows. And I was thinking about it's kind of, I do like that Tony Khan is with AEW, like with ECW, Paul Heyman was with the grunge stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Hard rock, grunge. And Tony Khan's leading to the hip hop, yeah. Right? The hip hop, that's cool.
I mean, you know, when you have a lot of younger wrestlers, and you do have some African American wrestlers, and their music, their entrance music, is hip hop based. Like, I think it makes sense. And you know, Swerve, we mentioned Swerve, but you know, he's big in the game. And so I agree with you. It makes sense, but I think he does have a variation, like, you know, Jericho's style of music.
Jeff Hardy's dancing,
the Ruby Soho song, like,
yeah, so, Rancid, yeah,
you know, cool. and so there is a variation, but when it comes to like the younger stuff, it does seem that he does lean a little bit more towards like the hip hop as for the younger people. But yeah, and you know, there was a Rey Fénix and Jungle Boy match that, if you're into spots, was really fun.
They just didn't sell shit. I was getting in front. I'm like, guys, sell something for at least a few minutes. Like, I don't mind they could do a lot of these spots, but they can cut a few out and have some selling, it would make this match more passable. But, and they kept resetting this match, like, I think like 3 or 4 times. And I mean, like, they stop, they get in the middle of the ring, they start trading chops. It was like, come on. So I wasn't a fan of that match at all.
All right. What did you think about the stoppage of the Eddie Kingston match? Well, he wins and then he doesn't let go of the hold. And then they reverse the decision here.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that match either. They open up with, you know, Sammy doing some trash talking.
He called him fat again, which is how they got the fight in the first place.
And then they start, you know, fighting it, and Eddie's going for the eyes, and they're trying to put, you know, create this illusion like, oh, this is real, this is, you know, but then Eddie gives him a chop in the corner and just blows it. I think they should just. Eddie should have went for the eyes and went really violent, and then there's no match. Like, security has to be called in, they get him off. Like, you just don't do the match. There's no need to do the match. Just get it to where it's so wild and crazy that, you know, they couldn't get through the match because Eddie had just like blood in his eyes, right? You want to tear this kid apart for being such a jerk to him and an asshole. And so that's what I thought they should have done. I thought the match was unnecessary. But I didn't like it. I thought, you know, they're trying to, like I said, make this feel like it's real. It's not typical pro wrestling, but they started doing typical pro wrestling stuff. So, you know,
where do you think this is leading to? Because
some stip match.
I'm talking about from the referee standpoint, because they called out Paul Turner.
Yeah.
Got to get your stuff in gear, man. You know,
that was the Bryce Rinsberg was referee in that one.
I know, but they're saying, because isn't Paul Turner like the lead?
Is he now?
I think so. Okay. But they were saying, like, at least it made you think that, you know, they're going to be like the reason why they overturned this is because the referee wasn't doing the job correctly or whatever.
No.
And so it looks like there's going to be like a little bit more attention on the refereeing, which could be good for us because we hate the way the referees look in most of these matches.
I don't think that's the case. I think it's the old case of when a babyface beats a heel and he holds on to the hold after because he's trying to get the revenge. He's so enraged. And then, you know, he wins the match. he loses, then he quickly loses the match because they reverse decision. You know, just like Bret Hart, Jerry Lawler, SummerSlam 93, similar finish. So that's what they're doing there. I don't think we're going to see emphasis on refereeing in AEW.
You need to read your Observer this week.
Is that what Dave's saying?
Dave, and I had some of this discussion with him on Wrestling Observer Radio, but he does think that there's going to be a little bit of like an updated idea about refereeing, because in every other sport that you watch, they can overturn bad calls, and they, you know, like the NFL, like they were the, you know, they have instant replay, and they can overturn where the referee misses something.
Oh God. But this crew, they're going to give them more stuff to do. I'm a little worried about that. Got a bunch of hot doggers. You got a bunch of people that are just clueless, like Knox, Rick Knox.
But it could be good, right?
Scared of his own shadow.
Like, let's just say, now I don't know this is to be true. I was trying to, I don't know if Dave knows this to be true or if he just kind of thinks that they may be leaning in this direction. But if it is the case where Tony Khan is like, you know, I rewatched some of these matches and they would have been a lot better if the heels didn't make the referees look stupid. And then in some instances, the baby faces too, which is worse.
3 years later.
Right. But let's say that he did. And he was like, okay, we're going to tighten this thing up here. We're not going to use these old wrestling tropes that is the easy way out or whatever. And we're going to tighten this thing up. If he did, like, that would be a positive, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hope. Let's hope.
I'm just being hopeful.
You're being hopeful. This is just their version of Bret Hart, Lawler, 93 SummerSlam, and various times that babyface has just lost control on a heel and a decision gets reversed.
I can't believe you went that one and you didn't go Ken Shamrock and The Rock at...
We just watched that.
At WrestleMania.
I don't know. I just had a vision of just Brett with that sharpshooter on Lawler at SummerSlam. That's how they did it. That's how you do that, by the way. That's the correct way to do that. These guys came out like one ref. No, Jerry Lynn came out first. And then these security guards came out with, you could tell they had no direction. If they did, it was quick. Like, oh, just be out there and try to help.
Yeah, and then Kingston just beat them all up.
The security guys, the extras, they look like they came out to like do musical chairs, like when is it our turn to get something to happen to us?
Yeah, they kind of surrounded him as if they were trying to talk him through, like, okay, you better let go.
Yeah.
If you don't let go, we're gonna get you. And if you let go, we'll let you walk away. And then he was just like, come on, guys. Like, it was really dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the main event was, for whatever reason, this was an unsanctioned lights out match. And I didn't like the booking here because Hobbs wins a glorified squash match at the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And Stark, as far as I remember, the only thing Starks did was come in after a match and clothesline him over the top rope and then strike a pose. And then now this is unsanctioned and Starks wins a longer match. Shouldn't this have been the last one? But it seems like there's going to be another. I don't know. I was really confused.
This seems like the end of their program. You know, lights out should be the end of a program, you know, kind of match. And it was, they used everything, tables, chairs, you know. I didn't like this booking. This is why I still say, like, if you're going to have Hobbs turn heel on Starks, have him lay out Starks for a good while, you give Hobbs a good push while Starks is, you know, injured or can't return to wrestling. And then, you know, you build up Hobbs to maybe a title shot against Wardlow. And then, like I said, maybe Starks gets involved in that to where Cost gets revenge on Hobbs and costs Hobbs that match. And then you do their program into some, you know, because, like, in the end, this turn happened, what, like 6 weeks ago? Now 6 weeks, Hobbs is nowhere in a better spot than he was, you know. And these guys are so misused. These guys should have been the tag team champions. They should have had a year run. They would have been so over if they'd done it. If they would have done it correctly. They both would have benefited from it. And, you know, I love both these guys. I hope they do something with Starks. But if this is it, and then they're just kind of on the back burner again, then, you know, that's going to suck because, you know, Tony Khan has a you know, his followers are is not his strength. We've seen that for 3 years now. So I hope they do something with these guys. But hell, why beat him now? Why beat Hobbs now? Why do this match now? They definitely could have held it off. There's no reason to get this done. We'll see. But
that was what I actually concluded as well, which was, man, I like these guys better as a tag team.
Yes. I think together they're stronger than apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Hobbs, I mean, his talking's a lot better. His promo, I liked his promo than the face off deal. That was cool. He was so intimidating that he blew off Mark Henry on the screen. You see that? Just boop, there goes Mark Henry. But, and then plus, it's like, it kind of started getting ridiculous. You know, Starks is kicking out all this stuff, you know, power slam on the chair and all that. And I don't know. Is this protecting Hobbs because it doesn't go on his record because lights out? You know, I don't think they're really paying attention to records anymore. They have them, but I don't think they're really focusing.
I haven't seen one in a while, right?
Yeah, they're not really focusing on it. I think that experience over.
I mean, especially when guys keep getting injured and you're just constantly adjusting your rankings and popping people in here and there. Like, it's just, I'm sure it's really hard when all the injuries happen.
What'd you think of that cluster battle royal?
Well, when I saw who was in it, I said, okay, if Hangman wins, great. If anyone else wins, this is a joke. Like,
yeah,
I know
there's no star power.
Roosh was in there in the end, and he's fine. Like, you know,
he already lost to Moxley.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, to see, it was cool seeing Brian Cage again. It was like, oh, there's that guy. We haven't seen him in a while.
I was dying because I'm like, who's that? I'm like, oh, it's Brian Cage. And he's doing a couple things. And apparently Big Show was doing commentary on this.
Yeah, Big Show was good. I really liked hearing his voice on it.
Did he get an entrance? I might have fast-forwarded it.
I don't think he did. Popped up? I think he just popped up.
There's a spot where I think it was when Brian Cage was doing stuff with Dalton Castle. And he's like, yeah, man, he's so powerful. One of the most powerful guys we have. And Brian Cage throws this shitty-ass leg kick with a leg slap that was, you know, everyone can see. And he goes, and flexible too. JR was freaking hilarious this show too. Like, he had some good, he was kind of frustrated with some of the stuff too. He was
The Trina thing, he was like, Trina.
Yeah. Like, he's like, when he's totally like not it with it, he totally overdoes it.
Yeah.
It's like the Jungle Boy Frey Phoenix match, you can tell like he's barely even talking to that match. He might have went his took a chance to take a potty break at that point. It was pretty funny.
So now, because you see things like this from a continuity standpoint, I'm actually wondering if you saw this, but I mentioned this on Wrestling Observer Radio. So for those people who already listened to that show, I'm repeating myself here. But so there's this segment where, like, Jericho is doing the announcing on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut back to Wednesday, the Dynamite show, and he's doing an interview. And you see Daniel Garcia on the side, and he's not celebrating with the crew. And so then they come back to the match. I think it was the Kingston match. And so Jericho's right there doing the announcing, and no one said,
how'd you get there?
No, not that. No one said, why wasn't Garcia celebrating with you guys? Like, going on there? And I know the reason is because they just shoved it in post-production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I don't like, why Jericho should not, I don't think Jericho should be on the commentary on this show.
Right? They need him for star power.
Well, he won the title. I mean, I guess it's a different night, quote, unquote, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I don't know. I just think, honestly, I'd rather have like a follow-up interview like they did, and then that'll be it. Like, he's celebrating or whatever,
Yeah.
Because he's horrible at this. Like, this is not a career for him in the future, is to do.
Well, I mean, if he wasn't also wrestling and constantly having to get himself over, I think he'd be really good at it. But it's because he's a wrestler and he's constantly having to get his shtick over while the show is going on. You know what I was thinking about this, because I was thinking about why some of the stuff that JR does doesn't get over to the fans watching AEW today as it did when we were watching JR back in the late 90s. it's because he doesn't have a heel announcer to bicker with. Like, it's essentially all babyface announcers, right? And so there's no personality for JR to bicker with like he would bicker with Lawler. So he's the one who always ends up looking like the mean guy because there's no Jerry Lawler there to actually be the mean guy for JR to get upset at. And that's an interesting thing because, you know, it's like all of it's Excalibur and the uncles, right? It's Taz and it's Tony Schiavone and it's JR. And it's like, you know, everyone has this experience if you have a little bit of a bigger family where, you know, you go hang out with your uncles and, you know, they're just bullshitting on top of bullshitting on top of bullshitting.
Yeah.
And that's what these announcers do while they're watching wrestling. And Excalibur's the only one who's really super paying attention. So it's just an interesting dynamic. I wonder why Tony wants it that way.
You know, it's funny, like, you know, AEW is the post. We're going to do everything that Tony does wrong. And for years, and Tony's, like, as they say, like the student of the game, as they used to say, like, for years, three bamboo suck, right? And like now we have four. It's just way too many people and too many too many voices. And it would be nice if it was just Taz and JR, really. Tony Schiavone would be a great backstage interviewer. Excalibur, I'm not a big fan of him. I just the mask and the yelling and the screaming. And Jericho, man, just shit. He's just not good. He's not good. He just yells and screams himself, and he tries to pop JR, which kind of cracks me up at times. But like the Lords of London, you know, insurance, all that. But he's just getting ridiculous. Just keep him as the wrestler. You don't need to do play by play.
All right. So then I guess technically, depending on how you watch this, either SmackDown or Rampage was the last show on Friday. I watched SmackDown this morning, and that opening segment with Sami Zayn and Roman and the Usos and Solo was absolute joy. I loved every
really good
piece of that segment, all the way, you know, with Sami finally gets the shirt, honorary Us. And I told Dave the story on Wrestling Observer Radio about Fatu and calling, you know, when I mentioned when I saw him at GCW, Jacob Fatu, and I said, hey, you know, I'm a really good friend of John LaRocca, and he's like, oh, John LaRocca, yeah, Oos, that's Oos. And then when I was talking about, you know, the Bay Area and where we're from, and I was like, yeah, you know, big Bay Area guy, sports fan. He's like, oh, Oos. And so I told Dave, I was like, yeah, I think, you know, John and I need to get honorary Oos shirts. And he's like, what about me? I was like, Jacob Fatu didn't call you Oos.
No, you're not Oos.
And he's like, yeah, but when I was talking to him, like, we had a good conversation. I was like, yes, of course, Dave. He likes you a lot. So maybe
we're all Ooses. We're all Ooses.
Jacob is not turning down honorary Ooses. He's overall just a very good person to just shoot the stuff with. So,
but yeah, the opening segment was tremendous. I thought,
Okay,
love this is the best like storyline going right now. The whole, I can't wait till the conclusion of it. I don't want them to rush it though. I thought they're teasing it, and I was like, oh man, don't do it now. You know, there's still a lot left in this. Of course there is.
They're
but I got a question for you.
Go
shoe talk here, bro.
Okay.
We got to get Solo some reds, dude. What's going on? He was the only one that didn't have the red shoes.
Oh, didn't have the red shoes?
Yeah, but the Roman has the red with the white. And the Usos, Jay and Jimmy, had just the full red. I think we need to get some. Solo needs to get some red shoes, right?
Well, I think you know what it is. He's only on that NXT contract.
Oh, shit. We got to get him help. We got to help him out. I like Sammy not having the red shoes, so that makes sense. But no, this is great. I mean, you know what? I fast forward a lot of the entrances these days just to kind of get through because there's so much stuff to watch, right? It's just a time saver. But I tell you what, man, it's a long entrance, but I just love watching this guy perform. I love watching Roman Reigns' entrance. It's just, he's a master right now. He just feels everything. He controls everything from the opening music when he walks out. It's, you know, he's huge, man. It's great. And Yeah, I think I love this game. Bloodline has to win like Gimmick of the Year for sure, right? Like,
so
just,
here's
should be
the
guaranteed.
So here's the thing that I'm wondering. Roman, I mean, he's been doing this. How long has he been WWE's like either most pushed guy or top guy since like 13?
Yeah, very
2013,
long time.
Something like that. And so, you know, he's been on top now for a very long time, and you don't even think about it. Well, you do think about it. You think about it in a couple different ways. You think, oh my gosh, like they were shoving him down our throats forever. But then you look at him and you go, he doesn't look old. He doesn't look like an old man, right? And he has figured it out. He's got the contract that he has where he doesn't have to wrestle that much.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing SmackDown, but usually when he's on SmackDown, he's just doing an interview and a segment. And I think he's like really, really figured out how to make sure that, you know, he doesn't get overexposed like he was during those earlier years.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there's got to be a way for other wrestlers to be in that same boat, right? Because not saying that everyone's Roman, that is absolutely not the case. But if you look at what he does, he only wrestles when he needs to wrestle. And when he wrestles, he's in the main event. It feels important. When he's on TV, his segment feels important. You don't really want to fast forward through it because you know something's going to happen. The presentation and the stage presence and everything is just 100% on point with him. But I do wonder, it's like we have this ability with both companies having pretty large rosters. Like, you know, not that I think necessarily that Jon Moxley wrestles too much. Maybe he does, but, you know, he has good matches and they're usually entertaining. So I dig them. And, you know, that is a value to AEW show is the wrestling. Like, that's why a lot of people tune in, is because they want to see a lot of wrestling. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see someone go, oh, this is what Roman's doing. Now, how can we figure out how to do that, you know, with somebody else and make them feel sort of bigger than life? You know, it's interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, tremendous stuff. I mean, yeah, I thought that was the best thing on the show was that opening segment for sure. Though the main event, I thought, was tremendous.
Yeah, the main event was good, but it was super predictable, so you kind of knew what was going to happen. But it was still good.
I like that they really build it up. Like, I love the video package for the Usos title reign.
Yeah,
talk about the history. Nice to see the demolition being acknowledged, right? Again. So that makes you think, like, well, is this gonna be the title change? You know, like, they got people, and then people were those people, hey, wasn't predictable to that crowd. They were on their feet. I mean, it was rocking and rolling. I thought it was good. There's some stuff. Ridge is still very green. There's some positioning things, but you know, I thought there's some spots I thought they could have done differently, but whatever. It was so good. And then helped play with the Purium stuff with the Brawling Brutes. A lot of stuff connected and was progressed. So that I thought it was really good. And I like what they're doing in SmackDown. Like, they're running down that card and like matches are starting to feel important again. You know, next week kind of seems not that, like, a little weaker, but then they're like, 2 weeks though, we got Sheamus and Gunther, two, you know, oh, that feels like a big match. And I kind of like that Roman doesn't show up every SmackDown because all they got to do is announce, like, Roman comes back next week. Or there's a segment where they talk about Roman comes back next, you know, and then they're, oh my gosh, like, then it's like, oh, you have to tune in. So yeah, WWE's been really cooking, at least with SmackDown. I really like that show. It's probably my favorite show to watch of the week now.
It's easier to watch because it's only 2 hours. There are still some segments though, because that Raquel Gonzalez and Shotzi thing was.
I fast forward a lot of it.
I think that is the way to watch both Raw and SmackDown. And probably Rampage. Dynamite, you and I can't really fast forward through it because we got to talk about it so much. But yeah, man, have your clicker and watch these shows about a half an hour behind everyone else so you can fast forward through bad stuff.
The Liv Morgan segments, matches and segments I have to fast forward. I just don't believe that girl. Yeah. Cute girl, but I just don't believe her as a champion. Soon they get the belt off her, the better, in my opinion. I know a lot of people are into her, though.
All right, real quick, because I want to ask you two other quick things, but you know, we talked about the Sammy storyline. Now, it's unfortunate because the storyline that I think would be the best case scenario for the folks who think Sammy is doing, you know, the best work of his career or whatever you think about it, is him actually having a match with Roman. But they may have a match.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
there's
not
a match there.
He's not beating Roman.
No, he doesn't need to. That's not his role. It's a role to. No, if they have a match, it'll be tremendous, and the people will be into it. There's a lot of matches coming up for Roman. Roman versus Kevin Owens is fresh again, right? When they do that, Owens and Sammy reuniting versus the Usos and beating them for the tag title.
That's what I think the payoff is.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what it. WrestleMania. That's the payoff.
I don't know. Like someone else will have to do the math. Our crack team. Like Bobby, he said, get our crack team on it. It'd be so cool if, say, it's WrestleMania time where Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens with the belt, and it's like just before the Usos would quote unquote break the record.
Mm-hmm.
And Sami,
what is the tag team record?
Oh God, they just did the graphic. I didn't take that really. I was taking notes, but
because I don't remember tag team champions holding the titles for all
New
that
Day.
Long.
New Day, remember New Day went over? I think they. I remember that was the they pushed that
it's just. How long you've been a champion, not
days
like the longest
champion.
Reign. Got it. That's
days
why I was
of
confused.
Champion.
That's what I was
yeah,
confused.
So, and it's crazy that the Demolition only had one reign and they're still up there.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Number two. So, yeah, it's the New Days, whatever that is. I forget what it was. But it'd be cool if like, because they keep pushing that. Like, they're going to break it, and they don't because Owens and Zayn win the titles, get revenge on them, and also stop their record breaking. title run.
All right, two quick things before we get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think about Triple H bringing back War Games?
Freshens up Survivor Series pay-per-view, because Survivor Series pay-per-view has kind of been, you know, it's one of the big four, but it hasn't really felt like the big four. Every once in a while they do something cool, like, you know, I think the Brock and Goldberg thing and Sting, right, came back for Survivor Series, but, you know, it freshens that show up, so I like it.
I mean, it's not going to be... Okay, so Triple H did say,
mm-hmm.
we're going to create a reason to have War Games. But just by doing that, he's already saying, like, yeah, like, the destination has been set, and we have to figure out a way to get there.
Yeah. Same thing with the Hell in a Cell stuff. Which
Yeah. But, you know, he did at least acknowledge that, yeah, that's a problem, like, you know, so we'll have to make something good.
Yeah,
but then he also said, yeah, there's gonna be no blood, so and I guess no wrestler who's gonna be courageous, like, say, Rick or Brett who will mm-hmm. blade and then say, oh no, it was hard way.
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of these War Games matches, the WWE era, because it's either stunts off it because they don't have a roof on their cage for War Games, and also the extra plunder that they bring in, and that kind of takes away from the cage. So I'm sure we'll get more of that. Plus, there's two of them, just like there's now two Elimination Chambers, two Hell in a Cells, always one. Always has to be one with the women and one with the men. It just kind of dilutes everything. So it's just the way it is, unfortunately. I'm not a fan of it, but. I think at least it freshens up Survivor Series, and I don't mind them taking the War Game stuff and bringing it to the main roster and then taking it away from NXT. I think it's fine.
Yeah. All right. Last thing, and this is, I think it's going to be a really big deal in early 2023, mm-hmm. but AEW finally going to make its way out towards this side of town, and the original story that came out was that they were going to run the pay-per-view at Cow Palace. And immediately when that story came out, I had a bunch of people reach out to me and say, from here, from this area, say, I think it's actually TVs at Cow Palace and mm-hmm. pay-per-view at Chase. Yes. So that will be pretty fun because, you know, you haven't been able to go out to some of these destination shows to, mm-hmm. you know, and now people maybe will come see us. So we'll be able to hang out with folks and, you know, who are a part of F4W online and who listen to this show and, you know, go have dinner with people and shoot the stuff and do all that stuff. So I'm really looking forward to it. No, whatever the situation is with the where TV is and where pay-per-view is, but that's going to be a pretty fun time, I think.
Yeah, that's a big bill for Cow Palace because Cow Palace is a union building. So, but Tony has the money. I mean, you can pay off whatever the fee is because you got to pay off. You know, if you're using cameraman, you have to use unless they just pays. I'm sure he might just pay a fee so he can use his camera people. But because it's union, you have to use theirs. But I think there's a big chunk of money you have to use to pay them off, and there's a big chunk of money to film there, like film the broadcast rights for that. So, but Tony has that money. I think Tony just wants to run the Cow Palace because he's a fan of wrestling and he's a fan of historic buildings, and he wants to do it. So we'll you know. I'm going to go to both, I think. I'm pretty sure I can definitely swing both. And then,
what do you mean both? There's going to be three, probably.
Oh, I'm not going to go to Rampage. Are you kidding me?
I'm telling you, there's going to be three. But, I mean, yeah, you don't have to go. Yeah, there will be three. I think I'll probably try to go to all three for sure.
Tentative plans, all three. But most likely, I think I'd rather go see a Dynamite. And
yeah, the one to miss is definitely Rampage. When Jeremy and I were in... for All Out Weekend, we're like, really? Rampage? Like,
because, you know, I got to convince my wife, you know, that I'm going to go to a 2-hour TV show and then also a 5-hour, you know, pay-per-view.
You got about 5 months to get her ready, man. Whenever it is, I think it's probably in 5 or 6 months. But it'll be a blast. And, you know, because of the destination stuff, you haven't been able to go. So we'll be able to, you know, talk to people who, you know, I know there's a few people in our group who were like, oh, I've never been to the Cow Palace before. This might be my only time, you know, and so they may try to make the trip. And yeah, we'll do some F4W stuff and some Fight Game Media stuff if people come out here. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right. So again, apologies for the late show this week, but we did get it up and we'll be back next week. And hopefully, you know, I think I have one vacation coming up in a few weeks where we'll do something pre-recorded because I won't be home to do the live Dynamite thing. Mm-hmm. But after that, I think we'll be pretty good for the rest of the year. Yeah. So,
yeah, we don't want to go dark. We don't want to go dark elevation. We just want to make sure
exactly. No one wants to go dark elevation.
Yeah.
All right. For John, I am Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.